I get asked from time to time if a message is pointed at a specific individual, and the answer is yes. This specific individual. My message is pointed at me, and if God uses it to touch you, praise His name. And if He doesn't, praise His name. I want to talk this morning about finding grace. We're going to start in Exodus. We're going to start talking with God and Moses in conversation. And go from there throughout Scripture and just take a look at some things. But in Exodus 33, beginning with verse 12, says, "Then Moses said to the Lord, 'See, you say to me, bring up this people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, I know you by name, and you also have found grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray, if I have found grace in your sight, show me your way, that I may know you, and that I may find grace in your sight, and consider that this nation is your people.' And he said," and that is the Lord, "'My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest.' Then he," that is Moses, "said to God, 'If your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. For how then will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight, except you go with us? So we shall be separate, your people and I, from all of the people who are on the face of the earth.' So the Lord said to Moses, 'I will also do this thing that you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name.'" Moses, in a conversation with God, brings God's words back to him. "You say I found grace in your sight. You say you know me by name. Yet you haven't given me all the answers I need. You say I have found grace in your sight. Yet you're going to send us up. But don't send us up if you're not going to go with us." Moses saying to God, "How do I know I can trust you?" Do we ever do that? But we look at this and we look at Moses having this conversation with God, and God reassuring him and reassuring him and reassuring him. "You have found grace in my sight. My presence will go with you. I will give you rest. I will go with you and with his people. What you ask, I will do, because you have found grace in my sight. And because I know you by name. I know who you are." Moses, revered throughout the Israelites' history. The giver of the law. The author of the first five books of the Scriptures. Jesus quoted Deuteronomy. Jesus quoted Scripture going all the way back to then. In fact, when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, all three verses that he quoted to Satan came out of the writings of Moses. Moses says, "God, how will I know you're going? How will I know I found grace in your sight?" And God having continually reassure him. God continually speaking to him. "This is evidence that I will be with you. I promise. My word is true. I'll be with you." Now today in our own lives, as we have found grace in the sight of the Lord, sometimes, so often we all can question, "God, how do I know? Where's that assurance?" It's not new. Moses was having the same questions. You said to me, verse 12, you say to me, "Bring up this people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me." In our own lives, God tells us to do something. We're like, "Well, how?" We want all the answers rather than trust that God is going to work it out. And this is natural. This is normal. This is our own, us trying to wrap our minds around an infinite God who sees the end from the beginning, who's already at work behind the scenes, putting people in place. And we're trying to figure it out. "God, I don't see how in the world you're going to do this." And we end up doubting, and we end up questioning the very God who created us and knows everything about us. Yet in His graciousness, yet in His love, He is patient with us. And just as He did with Moses, He reassured him. finding grace is recognizing that God has said it. God is going to make us able to perform it. God is able to bring it to pass, and trusting in that. And as followers of God, as disciples, as ambassadors, we are called to show grace to other people. Colossians 4, beginning with verse 5, says, "Walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one." Ephesians 4, verse 29, says, "Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it might impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you, with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you." Both of those passages, both written by Paul, telling the people, you've got to show grace. God has imparted to us grace. We have an obligation and a requirement to show that grace to other people. But what does that grace look like? Just like Moses talking with God, we try to be gracious to people and they don't believe us. We try to be patient with people. We try to show love to people. And there's a barrier, there's an obstacle, there's a wall. There's a saying that says, "He who is convinced against his will is of the same opinion still." In other words, you can't make somebody understand. You can't make somebody change their mind about something. All you can do is show grace and show love and show compassion and begin to encourage them. To have that grace, to let people make their own mistakes, because people are going to make mistakes. We can't make people do what is right. Sometimes I wish we could. Okay, often I wish we could, but that shows the lack of grace in my heart. So when finding grace, I have to find, because of the Spirit of God in me, I have to find the grace to let people question. I have to find the grace to let people make mistakes, and all I can do is encourage them and lift them up. Over there in Paul's writings, as my dad would say, it's in 1 Corinthians. It talks about the brother that is weak in the face, receive. And not with doubtful disputations or not expecting them to mess up. But to be encouraging to people. But to receive them. Let them grow at their own pace. We cannot make people, come on, you need to understand this. You need to do it this way. That's legalism. Yet loving people enough that we can speak into their life and give them advice and then love them enough to let them make their own decisions. It's a hard thing. Here in Ephesians, remember, he's talking to the church at Ephesus. Paul is writing to the church of Ephesus. And he says, "Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you." Talking to the church. Said, don't do those things. Be kind to one to another. Tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Even as God in Christ forgave you. As we have received the grace from God, we need to show that grace to other people. Mentioned week before. There's another verse that says, only through pride comes contention. Oh, Lord, forgive me. When I'm contentious, when I'm trying to make people understand, it's got to be this way. It doesn't help. It really doesn't help. It just gets in the way. That's finding grace. Remember I said at the beginning of this, it goes to me. Lord, give me the patience to show grace to those who need it. Show grace to those people around me. And to not try to force my will or force my understanding or force my exalted learning or whatever the case may be. I know so much better than you do, therefore you got to do it my way. Lord, forgive me. Lord, give me grace to show your love. Give me grace, Father, to show your patience. Give me grace, Lord, to encourage without trying to hinder and without trying to tear down. James 4, beginning with verse 6, says, "But He gives more grace. Therefore, He says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up." Interesting, James, also talking to the church, talking about the grace of God, and says, "Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded." Talking to the church, he said, God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. And to humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from us. He said, you're not your own way. You can't do things. You can't do it by force of will. You can't change somebody's mind by force of will, or even by, as Paul talked at one point, he said, "When I came to you, I didn't come with don't remember the exact quote, but flowery words. I didn't come with all man's wisdom, but I came in the power of God. I came in meekness that the power might be from God and not from me." How we approach somebody, how we show grace to somebody, how we show the grace that God has put in our hearts has to be through submitting to God and letting Him do the work in their hearts. I can't even change my heart. I need God to change my heart. How in the world can I change somebody else's heart? How in the world can I change somebody else's way of looking at things? So Paul had talked to the church, to the church in those two passages. James talks about it, and the writer of Hebrews reminds us, Hebrews 4, beginning with verse 14, said, "Seeing then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." That thought that Jesus came in the flesh, and Jesus went through the very same things that we went through, the same temptations, the same, you know, hungry and cold and persecuted and talked about, and all of the things that happen in our own lives. He's been there. He knows what it's like. We have a high priest who is tested in all ways such as we are. So we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness. And we go back to where we started in Exodus. I'm not flipping there, but going back in my mind. Moses talking to God, "You said I found grace in your sight. You said you'd be with me." Questioning me, making, you know, the creator of the heaven and earth, the one who is always faithful, the one who is perfect in all of his ways. And Moses saying, "Really? You said you were going to do it, but you haven't done this other stuff." Questioning God. As we try to show grace to people, we're going to get tested. Do you really, really mean it? Or is it just like another tactic to try to get me to change my mind? Do we really have the grace to extend to other people because of what God has done as us? Have our hearts truly been changed so that we can extend the grace of God to other people? Or is it just like, well, I'm supposed to be nice to you. I'm supposed to be kind, tender-hearted, forgiving, because the Word tells me to. But do we really let it bubble up inside of us? Do we recognize, I think it's also in James, says, if you see a brother overtaken in a fault, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of meekness and love, lest you also be tempted. Do we recognize that except for the grace of God, we are all lost? Except for the grace of God, you know, we have absolutely nothing to boast about. We have nothing to brag about. We have nothing to even point to. It is all Him. And because it's all Him, do we recognize, do we get that in our spirit that if God can work with a miserable person like me, imagine what things He could do with a nice person. Y'all think I'm kidding. Huh? I know the wickedness in my own heart. But do I let what God has done in me shine through me so that I can extend the grace to the people around me? So that I can reach out and encourage them and lift them up and pray for them and hope for the best for them and just let them make their own decision. Tell them what's good. Tell them what's right. Lift up good things and try to encourage them. But realize I can't make people do what's right just because I think it's what's right. Jesus, here in Hebrews, it talks about Jesus being able to sympathize with our weakness and was tested in all points just as we are, yet without sin. And tells us, therefore, let us boldly come to the throne of grace where we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Lord, we need Your mercy. We need Your grace, especially dealing with people because people are messed up. It says back in Genesis, it's fully set in the heart of men to do evil. We have our own focus and our own understanding, our own way of looking at things. And because of that, we tend to shut off other thoughts. Posted something on Facebook this week, and I was talking about how I'd heard recently that, saw something recently that said, we want others to judge us by our intentions, but we want to judge others by their actions. And I said, I understand that, but I don't think that's quite right. I want to be judged in the way that makes me look best, whatever way that happens to be. And I want to judge others in the way that makes me look best. Mm-hmm. Bottom line, you know, try to be gracious, but hey, you know, the goal at the end of the day is for me to come out looking, smelling like a rose. No, the goal at the end of the day is for me to point people to Jesus. The goal at the end of the day is for me to show the love of God to the people around me, to not only have the grace of God in my life, but also display that grace as I'm dealing with other people. I'm not a judge, either in the physical or in the spiritual. I'm not a judge. I can't tell what's going on in people's hearts. I don't have all the information. All I know is God loves them. And if I become an obstacle, if I try to be the judge, if I try to make people do things my way, I just get in the way of the Holy Spirit. Lord, give me the grace to show that love and show that grace to other people. Final passage of Scripture, 1 Peter. So we've heard from Paul, we've heard from James, we've heard from the writer of Hebrews, we've heard from Moses. Now we hear from Peter. 1 Peter 5, beginning with verse 1. Says, elders who are among you, I exhort, I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion but willingly, not for dishonest gain but eagerly, not as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive a crown of glory that does not fade away. Stop right there for just a minute. Talking to the older people, to the elders, to the shepherds, to those who are in positions of leadership, and encouraging them. He didn't say, "You got to do it my way." He said, first off, he makes the relationship. I also am an elder. I know what it's like. I know what you're going through. And encourages those to shepherd the flock of God, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, not trying to make them, or not being forced to, but willingly. Not for dishonest gain, but eagerly. Not as being lords over those entrusted you, but by being examples to the flock. Speaking to the elders, he said, show them what it's like. walk out your life before them, that they can see God's grace in you. Verse 5, likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. There's that quote again, that reference to the Old Testament. God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Let God's grace work through each of us. Not just in us, but through us, to extend that grace to the people around us. Finding grace is not just about experiencing the grace of God. It's about letting the grace of God work through us in our relationship, in our relations with other people. Verse 6, therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To Him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. What do you think about that verse 10? But may the God of all grace, who have called us to His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. After you have suffered a while. God is saying you have to get the lesson. You have to understand. You have to be tested in your faith. You have to be tested in your grace. You're going to suffer a while. Jesus said, in this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. It tells us back in verse 9 that the same sufferings, the things that we are going through, are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. We all face things. The question is, as we go through it, do we recognize the grace of God? Do we recognize the mercy of God? Do we recognize the hand of God in our lives? Or do we just sit there and say, don't know why in the world that happened. You know, God should have been able to get me out of that. God should have done it on my time. He should have done it my way. Dealing with other people. You really, really need to quit that. And that may be very, very true. But let me tell you about the grace of God. It says, I can't change you. But let me tell you about a God who loves you. A God who is reaching out to you. A God who wants to spend quality time with you. A God who wants fellowship with you. A God who will take you just the way you are. And as you submit to Him, will work in you to show His grace and love and mercy to you. When we're finding grace, we don't just find it for ourselves. Praise God, it's freely given to us. By grace are you saved through faith, that not of works, it's a gift of God, lest anyone should boast. God is the one who picked us up. God is the one who dusted us off. God is the one who washed us, who cleansed us, who clothes us in righteousness. And as we're reaching out to other people, we have to recognize that just as it took the sovereign hand of an almighty God to work in this vessel, it's going to take the sovereign hand of an almighty God to work in everyone around us. And all we can do is show that love and show that grace and show that mercy as we're dealing with them. As we're reaching out to them, as we're encouraging them, as we're lifting them up, knowing that the grace of God wants to reach them, and we need to stop. Or we cannot become an obstacle or a barrier that gets in the way. Lord, help me and help all of us, Father, to show your love and your grace and your mercy. Help me to reach out and to have the grace and the patience to love somebody enough to just show them God's love no matter what's going on. Lord, we need you. Praise the Lord. Father, we come before you. We do thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Father, that you are calling us, Lord, not only to walk in your grace, but to extend that grace to others. And just as Moses tested you and questioned you back in Exodus. Said, God, you said you were going to do this, but you haven't done it the way I thought. You haven't done it the way I think it ought to be done. Lord, you said you'd be with us, Father. Then don't let us go if you're not with us. And you kept saying, you found grace in my sight. I know you by name. Lord, you've called each of us by name, and we have found grace and favor in your sight, that we stand before you having the righteousness of Christ Jesus. Lord, help us to extend that grace and extend that mercy and extend that love to the people we encounter, to those, Father, that you put in our path. For you are the one, Lord, who directs our steps. Therefore, every encounter we have, Father, you know about in advance. You've already said you've caused all things to work together for good to them who love you, to them who are the called according to your purpose. You are the one who leads us. You are the one who directs us. You are the one who guides us. And you are the one, Father, who has called us to be ambassadors and faithful witnesses. Help us, Lord, to show your love. Help us, Father, to show your grace. That just as we have found grace and found favor in your sight, we might find through your Spirit the grace to extend that to other people as well. To be life and to be an encouragement and to exhort and to strengthen and to not be a barrier, not be a stumbling block, but to show your love to the people we encounter, knowing, Father, that you are at work and that you who began the good work are faithful to complete it. Father, we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord.